exposition of the 102nd Psalm on my website a long time ago. And I just never knew when the Lord would want me to use it. I knew eventually He would. And so last night I just felt that this is what I should present today. And it's line by line, it's verse by verse, and it makes me think about things. And if it makes me think about things, I'm sure it'll make you think about things. I'm just going to go line by line, verse by verse, in the 102nd Psalm, and we're going to start with verse 11, and I'll just stop when time comes. Psalm 102:11. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Sometimes you hear me use this expression in context all the time. And sometimes, if you want to get the point that God's making, you have to read a lot of verses and see what He's trying to get across to you about something that will help you in life. As you go through this with me, I hope you'll think about how God is and how you are. God, and all this is perfectly obvious, but a lot of times we don't think about obvious things. My days are like a shadow that declineth, and I am withered like grass. Isn't it wonderful that God is just the opposite of that? His days are not like a shadow that declineth, and He doesn't wither like grass. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when we inherit eternal life, when we're born again, we suddenly have a spirit in us that we never had before. And that spirit in us preserves us and keeps us, and one day makes us completely like God. Oh, I don't mean that we'll be as smart as God or as omnipresent, or I don't mean we could ever approach the majesty of God. How great thou art was very appropriate and special for this song. But we'll be like Him. And we won't have a shadow that declines, and we won't be withered like grass. When you first get saved, about all you think about is, oh, I don't have to go to hell. But if you continue in God's Word, God finally begins to get across to you that something's waiting for you that's a whole lot better than what you're going through now. Sure, you love your wife. You love your husband. You love your children. You love the things you do. You love the vacations you have. There's lots of things about life you love, and they're all wonderful. But it's awfully hard sometimes to understand. And once you leave that body, you really do have something waiting on the other side that's magnificent. So as we go through this, let's think about God and about all the things that God is and all the things that we're not, but will one day be. He says, my days are like a shadow that declineth. Now, when I came into the world, there I was, a bouncing baby boy. And I burst onto the scene like a bright light. And I grew up. The light shined brighter. But now, as time passes and I cast a shadow, it's going down. Just like the sun sets, one day this body will cast a shadow no more. Aren't you glad God's not like that? I certainly am. This refers most likely to the shadow created by a sundial in ancient times, which begins to cast a shadow in the morning that laid down to the rest when the sun set that day. And I've preached this particular verse of Scripture before all by itself one time, and I use that illustration. It is an allusion to the declining years of a person's life after having lived, after having made a bright, shining entrance into life at birth. It needs to be compared to our Heavenly Father of lights. And certainly that song, How Great Thou Art, when you start comparing what you are now and what you have now to what the Father of Lights is like and what he has waiting for you, there really isn't any comparison. And the real question in all this is belief. How much do you believe that? How much faith do you have? The more faith you have, the more you'll act on it, the better church member you'll be, the better Christian you'll be, the better person you'll be, and the easier you'll be to get along with. It needs to be compared with our Heavenly Father of Lights, whose light shows no variation in its consistency and dependability. I'm glad God isn't variable like me. You ever hear somebody say, well, what I like about that fella, he's always the same. And that is a very desirable trait. And I know some people that are always the same. They're not mad at you one minute, fed up with you the next minute, think you're a dumb bunny the next minute, like you the next minute when you do something. But they just change all the time. I know, as the old man said, I are one. Aren't you glad God is not like that? Aren't you glad that God never gets tired of you? Once you become his child, he disciplines you because he loves you. Aren't you glad that he's not variable like you are? It needs to be compared to our Heavenly Father of Lights, whose light shows no variation, its consistency and dependability, and casts no shadow on the sundial of life to tell the time, because it is eternal and has no measure of beginning or ending. His gift of salvation to those who receive his Son as Savior bears the characteristics of his eternal life. I never had his characteristics. I never had eternal life until I repented of my sins and went to Jesus and trusted him to give me what he alone can give. His personality, his ways, his mind, his thoughts, and his life. And Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If God would grant me one wish, I believe I would ask for this. I'd say, Lord, help me to be the same today and tomorrow and forever. Help me not to be irritated one moment, happy the next, mad at somebody one second, happy with them 2 days later. Help me to be consistent, Lord. Help me to be the same yesterday as I am today and tomorrow. You say, well, you can't do that. I know that. But that's what I'd ask for, because that's the way God is. That's the way his Son is. He's continually consistent. This is the point James is making using the figure of a sundial in his epistle. James 1:16-17, he says, do not err, or some say err, my beloved brethren. So he's talking to people that are saved, scripturally baptized, members amongst the Lord's churches. He says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above. I can't give you a good gift. Oh, by definition, you may give a good gift to one of your grandchildren or your children, and you say, and they'll say, Dad gave me a good gift. Dad gave me a perfect gift. By human standards, yes. But only God could give me eternal life. Only God is good, and he alone was capable of giving me his Spirit, and God is good. And only God is perfect, and God gave me a complete Spirit, in whom you are complete. Christ was complete in all things, and when Christ comes to live in you, he's a perfect gift. He's a good gift. He's the only perfect thing about you, and he's the only good gift you have. And cometh down from the Father of Lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Charlie, you think you can go to God and ask him to forgive you for something, and he'll say, not this time. He's always the same, isn't he? He never changes, does he? You ever have somebody you just couldn't forgive? Somebody that just bugged the fire out of you? And you just could not ever like them. Well, God likes you. And some of the things about me and about you, other people feel the same way you do about that other person. But isn't it nice to know that you have somebody you can go and talk to and pray to And there's no variableness in him, neither shadow of turning. And every time I've ever gone to him, he's forgiven me. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I know that every time I go, he'll forgive me. How would you like to have to live with a situation where maybe, there was one super duper horrific bad sin that if you did it, God will say, "That's it." Well, he wouldn't be consistent, would he? He wouldn't be God, would he? But he is God. And that's what's so wonderful about it. His love is so great that nothing can ever separate a believer from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. He's always consistent. How'd you like to work for somebody that wasn't consistent? How'd you like to work for somebody that one day wanted something and the next day wanted something else? He never knew what he wanted. How'd you like to work for someone who gave you a book, told you what to do, didn't set an example for you, didn't leave you any instructions about what he expected from you, and just disappeared and left you in the dark? After 32 years here, I hope by the grace of God and the power of Christ that he placed in me, I have in some small way gotten across to you the point of the advantage that you have in serving God because of who he is and because of his great love for you. And you've shucked aside those things that would make you break away from the church, break away and get mad at people, and stay gone. And I hope all of us have grown up enough to realize that God expects us to love one another because he loves us. And if God can love us, we can love one another. Because if Christ is in us, we can do it. Sure, we're going to get irritated with one another. We're going to get mad at times. But because Christ's Spirit lives in us, we can get over it. And we can accept the truth. Just because this church down the road believes something, this church over here believes something, and that church over there believes something, and that church down there believes something, we're accountable to God ourselves. And it's our responsibility by the Spirit of God to do what our God said in his word, the way he said to do it, without question. If you were to tell me to do something, John, I'd want to know why. You know why? Because you're just as squirrely as I am. And if you want me to do something, I'm going to check you out. And I'm going to ask you why. And I'm not going to do it till I'm sure you know what you're talking about. Isn't it wonderful to have somebody like God where I don't have to check him out? And I don't have to say, "Lord, would you please explain this to me?" He doesn't have to explain anything to me. I know that everything he says and everything he's written is the truth. What a joy and what a blessing it is to just simply do what God says. People say, "I don't like the way you take the Lord's Supper." God does. "I don't like the way you baptize." God does. "I don't like this business about the church being local and visible." God does. You say, "Well, he needs to explain himself." He has. He has. Didn't have to, but he has. Now the question is, are you willing to listen to him tell you why and then do it? Or are you going to let your flesh dictate what other people tell you you ought to be doing when God says do this and you say, "Well, I don't see the reason for it"? I'll give you the reason. The only reason I can give it to you is because God put it in there. And God told me to study to show myself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. This is one of God's churches. I have an attitude toward it like this. I don't want to be anywhere else. I don't want to worship anywhere else. I want to worship where God sent me. And here I am. And I want to learn to change my opinions and my ideas to what God's word says. And that's where my heart, my life is. John 1:4. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. God is light. It's a consistent light. He goes on to say, and I am withered like grass. The same figure is presented of death approaching like a declining shadow on a sundial. But this time, it's a picture of grass fading away from its beauty in the spring to a withered brown as the end of life approaches. I remember when I used to be able to lift this leg. And I remember when I pitched American Legion ball, I always lifted it higher because I wanted to impress people. And I wanted to look like Harry the Cat Rakeen who pitched for the St. Louis Cardinals. And I had a roundhouse curve you would not believe. They would duck out of the way and the thing would curve over the plate. I was magnificent. Magnificent! And my skin was fresh. I didn't have any wrinkles. Not a wrinkle. And I thought I was Apollos. And I strutted around like a peacock. And I thought I could have any girl I wanted. You say, well, that's terrible, Brother McElmurray. I know that. But that's when you're young. And I had a 27-inch waist. And I used to stand in front of the mirror. And man, back then they had that Charles Atlas books. And I used to think about that. Wow, boy, I didn't tell myself I was something, but I thought it. And I thought how lucky these girls were that I was dating. And you say, well, that's awful. I said, I know it's awful. But you know what happened? Look at this thing now. Lord, I have to kid these women about grease. I just wipe all mine off. I don't put grease on here once in a while. This stuff just cracks and itches, and it's awful. I'm getting those brown spots all over me. I'm fading. I'm fading bad. I'm going in for whatever they're going to do to me on Wednesday. This may be my last episode here. Does that bother me? Lordy mercy, it would have back when I was pitching ball. Man, I would have thought it was terrible. I'd have been cheating all those girls. I'd be gone. What would they do without me? I really didn't think like that, but not outwardly anyway. Well, I'm sure glad that God doesn't fade. I'm sure God doesn't throw his leg up in the air when he pitches so he'll look like Harry the Cat Rakeen. I'm glad God's not out to impress anybody. He doesn't have to because he's God. I'm glad God doesn't stand in the mirror and look and flex himself. I'm glad he doesn't think he's a gift to the world. He made the world. You want to meet God? I have. In 32 years here, I've met him. His name's Jesus Christ. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. For I am meek and lowly, and you shall find rest unto your soul. Well, I found it. I found it. No, I don't kick my leg up in the air and pitch like Harry Bikin anymore. I don't think I'm God's gift to mankind. I'm just a little small, insignificant twerp that pastors a church in Dardanelle, Arkansas, who wants to be like God, who wants to be meek and lowly in heart. I didn't realize how important that was when I was young. You can't. But I could have done better. What God really wanted me to be was me. He wanted me to enjoy life. He wanted me to ask him to get the kind of girl he wanted me to have. He wanted me to pray about it. He wanted me to turn my life over to him. I didn't do it. You think I regret that? You don't know how much I regret that. I could have turned my life over to God when I was young. And I didn't do it. So why am I telling you that? Because you got the same opportunity and I blew it. Don't you blow it. I could have been a lot happier. God doesn't want you to model yourself after Elvis Presley or
after some rock star. He didn't want you to model you after some model. It's like this woman, girl, Paris, I think they call her. God just wants you to be you. And God wants you to be like him. God just wants you to try to imitate. That's what it says, imitate his son and try to be like him. Don't do what I did. Don't make that mistake. I can't go back and relive those years. It's over. It's done. I could have done a lot better job raising my kids. But I was so caught up in being successful and giving them money and everything they wanted and letting them have all the things I never had as a boy. I was so caught up in that, I thought that when I did that for them, I was doing them a big favor. No, I wasn't. Your parents really love you. You know how I know that? You're sitting right here. And you might be somewhere else if it wasn't for them. But they want you to turn out to be someone that they can be proud of. They don't care if you become president, or if you become a rock star, or if you become a great baseball player. They don't care. The only thing they care about is, who's she going to marry? Who's he going to marry? Are they going to continue to serve Christ? Are they going to continue to do what God wants them to do? I'm looking at your parents now. I can tell you, that's what they want. But it isn't what they want that's important. Not nearly as important as what God wants. And they want it because they wanted God in their life, and they want to have God in your life. You know why I was so glad when my kids got saved? Because I couldn't be with the boys, Caleb. I don't know what I got on this kick for. I hadn't planned this. But when I was your age, I know what goes through your mind. You may think I don't, but I do. Been there, done that. And I thought, well, now that they're saved, wherever they go, Christ is with them. And he's going to try to keep you from doing things that you just naturally, by birth, want to do. And you're a very pretty girl. And my girls, I remember, I thought, well, they're saved now. At least wherever they go, Jesus will be with them. And I can't be everywhere my boys were, and I couldn't be everywhere my girls were. But Jesus is with you both. And when we take you all to camp, you may think that we just take you up there because it's a lot of fun. We want to see Christ built in you. We want to see Christ grow in you. We want you to be the kind of person that when you grow up, you put your kids in church and you work with them. Now, what do you think God wants of you? What kind of example are you setting for your kids? For your nephews and nieces? I mean, what kind of a job are you establishing for? What kind of a job are you doing with Rachel? Does Rachel, when she grows up, will she see how much you love church? You love her and you care for her. But the greatest thing you can show for a child is faithfulness to God and your love and respect for God. It's a pleasure to work for him. It's a pleasure to serve him. When we look back at the pictures of the spring of our lives, we see unwrinkled, smooth, vibrant skin. But in the fall of our lives, we see wrinkled, browning skin that is thin and easy to crack. All of you that are my age, you know what it means to have skin that cracks. You just blow on it and it cracks open. It's terrible. Well, I got four sheets here. But I'm not going to go much further. One day we'll be able to rejoice in the deterioration of our flesh because we know we will one day receive a new body like his, one never to be affected by the passage of time. My soul was made new
when it was born again 62 years ago, and my old physical body will be made new at the time of the first resurrection. 1 Peter 1, 24-25, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass. It's all gone. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The gospel is the preaching of the cross, not of the cross and baptism. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. God just asked a person, do you want to go to heaven or do you want to go to hell? It's your choice. And Paul said, testifying both to the Jew and to the Greek, repentance toward God, it means you're going along this way, pretty well content with the way you are. You realize suddenly there's a heaven and a hell, and that God's the only one who can spare you from hell, and you turn. And you put all your faith in Jesus Christ. Testifying both to the Jew and Greek, repentance toward God, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what salvation is. And you ask the one to whom you came to save you, and he does. It would be wonderful if when we got saved, all of a sudden, we understood all this book. But even after we're saved, we keep on fighting against God. The only one who can truly help us, who is always the same, never stops loving us, and we still try to hide from him. I think the secret of life that God gave us was in the Garden of Eden. He coaxed Adam and Eve out, and they were hiding. Finally, he got them out. Once you know Christ as Savior, then you don't ever have to worry about going to hell. But you need to take advantage of the opportunity he has given you to serve someone who is always consistent, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and has chosen to put the local church down here for you to serve him. If you know Christ as your Savior, you need to unite with one of God's churches that teaches the truth and serves him. I guess I'd call that a double blessing. God blessed you when he saved you, and God's waiting to bless you even more if you unite with one of his churches and serve. It's your decision. As the song leader comes, as the pianist comes, and as the lights are turned on, I've shown you God's word. The rest is a personal matter between you and the Lord. My first inclination was to be so thankful for the fact I didn't have to go to hell. And I still am thankful for that. But that's a settled issue. His word has convinced me of that. But I'm also thankful for another reason. If I had not had Jesus Christ living in me for the last 62 years, I would have been the greatest adulterer who ever walked on the face of this earth. But Jesus was in me. And Jesus kept me. And he kept me by his power. You need to let him do the same for you. Because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tried. And it's going to be tough. But he didn't let me down. And he won't let you down either. What number?